Welcome to Gemara Markings. Shiur is Chagiga Daf Chof Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's Shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. And then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's Shiur begins in the middle of the Omid. If you prefer, you can count 25 lines from the top. The first word on the line, it says, V'ha d'rova u'd'rav ilo tanoihi. We find ourselves essentially in the middle of a discussion that we started during our last shiur. We were dealing with the general issue of that which was mentioned in the Mishnah, that one is not to immerse defiled vessels with regard to kachim, with regard to sacrificial matters, one vessel within another, and then submerging them in that fashion into the mikveh, into the ritual pool that provides the purification. The question that we dealt with in our last year is, why is it prohibited to immerse one vessel within the other simultaneously, which we call in the Gemara language, kli v'soch kli, one vessel in another? Why? What is the problem? So we saw two approaches, the approach taken by Rav Elah that said it presents a problem of chatzitza. There is the potential for the inner vessel weighting down on the interior of the outer vessel, thereby preventing the water from reaching that point. And in order for there to be an effective immersion, water must reach all parts of that which is being purified. According to Rava, we don't want the vessel within a vessel method used, because if we allow that, you might come to immerse tome needles inserted into a bottle with a very narrow neck. Cliche v'fiv kishveros anot. All of this we saw during our last shiur. At this point, the Gemara opens up with the claim that machlokus between Rava and Rav Elah in explaining the problem of kli besoch kli is in fact a machlokus tanoim. And that's the opening line of our Gemara. V'ha de Rava u de Rav Elah tanoi hi. That which Rava and Rav Elah were discussing, were arguing about, according to Rav Elah, the problem was a chatzitza problem, an interposition problem. And according to Rava, the problem was what we call eruv mikvos, the ability of the water of the mikveh to connect with the water that's inside the bottle with the narrow neck. We pointed out in our previous shiur that the point of difference between them would be the immersion of a vessel while inside a basket, a woven basket, a sal or gargusni. They're both woven type baskets. According to, let us just point out that those vessels, a sal and gargusni, never have narrow necks. So according to Rav Elah, it still would be prohibited because of the chatzitza problem that could arise. According to Rava, it would not be a problem because the issue of Eruv Mikvos as being an issue with a sal and gargusni would never arise. So now the issue of how to approach a sal and gargusni is, according to the Gemara now, a machlokes tanoim. As we said, according to Rava, sal v'gargusni as the outer vessel, whereby you put other things into that and immerse it that way, it would be okay. And according to Rav Elah, it would not be okay. This issue then is presented here as a machlokes tanoim. Desanya, sal v'gargusni shemilon kelim v'bilon. These type of basket woven works, vessels that were filled with other vessels and were immersed Bein l'kodesh, bein l'truma tahorin. Whether the immersion is for use in the context of sacrifices or for the use of these vessels in the context of truma, the tithe one separates and gives to the kohanim, which demands a level of purity. Whether it's for that use as well, tahorin. It's an effective. It's an effective immersion. In other words, the Tana Kamo then would reflect the opinion of Rava. Or, if you want to be more accurate historically, Rava reflects the opinion of the Tana Kamo. And Abba Sholom er l'truma v'lo l'kodesh. It's ineffective for Kodesh purposes. And, of course, the whole issue of Kli B'soch Kli came up within the context of Kodesh. That's how it was presented in our Mishnah, the beginning of our Mishnah. So why does Abba Shaul object to the Kli B'soch Kli with a Gsava Gargusne? It would appear then because he is concerned with a Chatzitza problem. The Gemara now asks, according to Abba Shaul, that there is a Chatzitza potential in Salva Gargusne, Ihachi Truma Nami, so why not be restrictive with regard to Truma as well? Abba Shaul did say that putting other vessels into these into this woven vessel work, Salva Gargusni, it's an effective immersion. So why, if Abba Shaul is concerned with Chatzitza, so then why does he allow it with regard to Truma purposes? The Gemara responds, Leman Koamrinon, this Tanaic source is addressing whom? Chaverim, it's addressing people that are concerned with purification. Chaverim are people that are diligent and concerned, as opposed to Ame Horetz, the ignoramuses. Here we're issuing instructions. Who would heed these instructions? Certainly it would be a chaver, not an Am Horetz. An Am Horetz isn't even going to come to ask how should these things be done. So we're talking about a source that's addressing chaverim. Chaverim meida yadi. Chaverim are aware of chatzitza as being a problem, and they will be careful when immersing the vessels inside a salva gargusa to make sure that the inner vessels float up a bit and water surrounds them. Ihachi, if that be the case, kodesh nami, so then we should be lenient with regard to Kodesh as well, for sacrificial purposes as well. Why does Abba Shaul make a distinction between Truma and Kodeshim? If we're addressing Chaverim, they will, just like you said, they'll be diligent with regard to avoiding an interposition problem with regard to Truma, so too with regard to sacrifices. The Gemara answers, why is Abba Shaul objecting to a salva gargusni use in the case of Kodesh? Chozi lei amoretz v'ozil matbil. The ignoramuses might see the chover, the responsible person, doing this, and he'll do the same thing. Now, with an amoretz, though, he's not going to concern himself with the possibility of chatzitza. So we don't want to do something that would lead on the ami haoretz to follow suit. Truma nami, well then, when it comes to truma as well, is that also not a problem? Chazi le amoretz v'ozil matbil, the ignoramus will see the chover doing it, and he will do the same. And when the amoretz does it, he won't be concerned with the chatzitza problem. The Gemara says, we're not worried about the amoretz scenario with regard to truma, because lo mekablino minayo, we don't accept truma from Ame Haaretz to begin with. Ame Haaretz, as we said, are people that are not reliable when it comes to diligence, the diligence that's required to avoid defilement. As such, if an Ame Haaretz comes and presents a Kohen with Truma, the Kohen won't accept it, because Truma Tamea is something that you are not allowed to eat. Question, Kodesh Nami Lo Nakbil Minayu. If, just like Truma, you're willing to do the salva gargusni type immersion and not care about the effects it will have on the amaratzim, so be lenient also with regard to kodesh. Let's immerse your kli besoch kli in the using the salva gargusni, and when it comes to kodshim purposes, sacrificial purposes, if the amoritz were to present to you, let us say, wine or oil for sacrificial purposes, for meal offerings and the like, we simply won't accept from him. So that we, the chaverim, are not running any risk in doing a salva gargusni immersion for kodesh purposes as well. The Gemara says that is not a solution, the idea of not accepting from the amoretzim, because havya lei eva, that will arouse feelings of eva, intolerance, hate. Trumonami havya lei eva, well then, just like by kodesh, we have to accept things from the amoratzim, because otherwise there will be this feeling of strain and hate if we don't accept from them. Is that not the same problem with regard to truma? The Gemara says with regard to truma, lo ichpas lei, it doesn't bother the amoretz if a kohen chover doesn't accept the truma. He has an outlet. He can give it to another kohen who himself is like the balabayas, like the owner of the produce, who is also an amo oretz. So that with regard to truma, we're not running any risk by doing a salva gargusni immersion. As far as the Amoritz is concerned, we don't accept the truma from him, he'll give it to someone else. However, with regard to Beis HaMikdash issues, we don't have that option. The lack of the Beis HaMikdash accepting produce, or accepting the items for sacrificial purposes for Amoritz, will lead to Eva. Therefore, we don't want to give the impression to Amoratzin that you can do a salver gargusni immersion, because they'll end up doing the same, and then they'll have vessels that they think were purified but were not because of the chatzitza problem, and in those vessels they stored oil or wine, and they'll one day bring that to the Beis HaMikdash and will be in a real bind, because we know it's tome, or there's a suspicion of tuma on their wine and oil, and we can't use it, and that will create eva. So in order to preempt that from ever happening, we, the chaverim, also avoid doing a sal vergargusni immersion, vessel kli besoch kli, using the sal vergargusni. The Gemara asks, uman tana dechayesh leva, we had Abba Shoal that mentions you don't do kli besoch kli, even with regard to using a salva gargusni for kodesh. And we explained Abba Shoal because one has to concern themselves with a chashash eva. Here the Gemara is asking, who is the Tana that developed this concept known as the chashash eva, upon which Abba Shoal is basing his opinion? The Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi hi, Desanya, Omer Rabbi Yossi, Mipnei ma hakol ne'emonim al taras yayin v'shem in kol yamos hashana. Why is it that with regard to the purity, the non-defilement of wine and oil, we believe everybody, including Amoratzim, to tell us that their wine and oil has not been defiled, and we believe them throughout the year, not just on the holiday period. So Rabbi Yossi says, why is that we believe them throughout the year? Kedei shelo ye kol echad vechad holechu boneh bomo liatzmo, so as to avoid a situation, to avoid a society where you'll have the people, the amoratzim, who we might not believe, then going and building their own private altars, the Sorif Poraduma Liatsmo, and preparing their own Poraduma, and of course that will result, not only is that prohibited, but it also will result in a split in the nation of Israel. So as to avoid that, we relax our generally strict approach that we take to Amaratzim, that maybe it's ironically speaking, but with regard to Kodesh, we grant them believability. Now, as a result of that, our granting them believability because of our concern for Eva, we do take the preemptive measures according to Abba Shoal, and not practice immersion of Kli B'Soch Kli, so as not to give rise to a potential Chatzitza problem with regard to Amaratzim, the ignoramuses that are not diligent with regard to those matters. Omar Rav Papa, Keman Mekablino Neidlo Sahadusa Me'ame Oretz. Based on whom do we accept testimony? Testimony, of course, is predicated on the assumption that people will tell the truth. There is a certain, we'll say, understanding or suspicion, if you will, that Ame Oretz, that ignoramuses, have a tendency to speak other than absolute truth. So technically speaking, Ame Oretz are suspect as being people that you would not want to rely on their testimony. However, there is a practice that the Gemara says that in our days, we accept testimony even from Ame Oretz. Keman, like whom would that be? Rebbe Yossi. This would be according to Rebbe Yossi. Rashi points out that according to the Rabbanan, we do not accept testimony from Ame Haaretz. According to Rebbe Yossi, because of the Chashash Eva, by not accepting their testimony, it will create a great deal of rivalry and strain and possibly hatefulness. And hence we want to avoid that, and will therefore be lenient with our standards regarding accepting their testimony. On the side of the Gemara, we have a topic heading, which we indicate Hemshech. We're continuing with our topic, and we've written the following. What the Gemara is going to deal with is raising a question. It will raise a question. Loma lo ne'esor kli besoch kli betruma. Up till now, we explained, certainly according to Abba Shoal, the hesitation, the prohibition of doing an immersion of Kli B'Soch Kli, even using a Salva Gargusni with regard to Truma, and the underlying explanation of that had to do with the let me correct ourselves, the explanation of Abba Shoal with regard to Kodesh, if I'm not doing it with regard to Kodesh, was because of Eva. Abba Shoal, though, said with regard to Truma, there is nothing to worry about. Well, having said that with regard to Truma, there's nothing to worry about. And by the way, the Tanakhama also agrees that there is nothing to worry about. He said that you can immerse Kli B'Soch Kli for Truma purposes if you're using a Salva Gargusni. Is there not a problem, though? We note on the side, Loma lo nes or kli besoch kli betruma. I must correct myself in terms of accuracy. The Mishnah itself said that kli besoch kli is objected only with regard to Kodesh. There's no objection to doing an immersion of kli besoch kli with regard to truma. So we're asking a question. Why should we be so lenient and allow Kli B'Soch Kli with regard to Truma? If we... what's the Chashash? What do we mean by Mipnei Chashash She'ela? She'ela means borrowing vessels. Chaverim, though, as we pointed out before, they don't accept the food of Ame Oretz because of the problem of it being Tomei, but Chaverim, it's a known practice, Chaverim do borrow vessels from Ame Haaretz. But now, let's think about this. If we allow Kli B'Soch Kli by Truma, Amoratsim will see my immersing things, kli b'soch kli. They will also immerse their vessels that need purification while being contained within. They'll immerse them while being contained within another vessel, and that creates problems. We mentioned one problem is a problem of chatzitza. So the Amoratsim will then follow suit and do kli b'soch kli. Their immersion won't be successful. It won't necessarily be effective because of the chatzitza problem. And then a chover is going to come along and borrow the vessel and use it. And he'll be using a tome vessel with his tohor food and thereby ruining the tohor food. So why are we so willing to do kli b'soch kli for truma purposes when the entire scenario that we just explained could arise? So the Gemara raises this question. You'll note by way of markings, we have a long question marking. There are two Tanaic sources that are cited here. It's basically to bring us to the long question is with the sources cited is to demonstrate that we in fact borrow vessels from the Ame Haaretz. So once that is the case, once we've established that there is a practice of chaverim, of reliable people borrowing vessels from Ame Haaretz, I'm going to end up borrowing a vessel that might very well not be tor because of his inept immersion of it, all because we were immersing kli b'soch kli for truma purposes. After the very long question, the Gemara gives a very simple answer and says, that's true, we do borrow from them, but ki shailina minayhu madbelinon lahu. When we borrow from them, we, the chaverim, we immediately immerse the vessel to really purify it, because of this chashash that they immersed it kli b'soch kli. The Gemara then will proceed with a give and take, but in the meantime, let's go over the long question. The nechush l'she'ela. Rashi explains what we said, but let's look at Rashi in his succinct, exact fashion. Let's appreciate what he says on the first line under the Gemara text. V'nechushel she'ela lo nitbol kli b'soch kli l'truma. Let us not immerse in that fashion vessel within vessel for truma purposes. It's true we said in the Mishnah we don't do that for kachin purposes. Let's not do it for truma purposes. Dilma chazi amoretz v'avid hachi. The ignoramus might see my doing kli b'soch kli and he'll do the same thing. And we said that could result in a chatzitza problem. Also, they have the maybe he'll immerse in narrow neck bottles. It's also a problem. And yet we borrow their vessels and use them. Is it not? Is there no fear that I'll borrow a vessel that the Amorites had immersed kli b'soch kli with all of the fear that arises? So now the Gemara text. We said, why not concern ourselves with Shela and not do Kli B'soch Kli also for Truma? Disnan. Now, we're bringing a Tanaic source that eventually we will see this idea that we borrow from them. Kli cheres matzil al kol divrei beis hillel. Ubei shamay omrim eino matzil al oichlim v'al mashkim v'al kli cheres. Beis hillel says that a clay vessel can serve as a block or a protection for everything against tuma. There are two scenarios that you can see in the Rashi. When we speak about clay cheres matzil, we're talking about a large clay vessel that has a seal on it, covering its top, which is called a klicheres mukaf tzomid posil. It's a seal that surrounds the top of, it's a lid, but it's a sealed lid on the clay vessel. And if you have a something like that, we call a klicheres, it's mukaf tzomid posil. And it's that within the sealed vessel there is food items, there are food items, or there are other items that could become tameh. If this unit is in a room in which there is a corpse, we call that an oil amase, the contents of this sealed clay vessel remain tahor. There's another scenario where the kli cheres functions as a block, a blocker of tumah. If you had a two-story house, a ground floor and an aliyah, a second floor, and there's a skylight, or let's say a hole in the floor of the second story, or the ceiling of the first story, there's a hole in the floor. Let us then imagine that there is a corpse on the ground floor. The tumah will rise through the hole and defile everything on the second story. However, if you stuffed into the hole a clay vessel with the bottom exterior of the clay vessel facing downwards, facing the room in which the corpse is found, the items in the second story in the aliyah will be protected from the tumah that otherwise would have risen through the hole. And that's because the clay vessel whose bottom exterior is facing the room in which you have the tumah, tumas meis, we say the kli cheres are not mekabel tumah mibachutz, and they also block tumah that would they block the tumah that's hitting their exterior, preventing the tumah from penetrating and going up to the second floor, thereby defiling any items that were there. So the Beis Hillel says that kli cheres are effective in protect from the tumas ameis, protect against everything. They protect everything, that is. Beis Shammai omrim eino matzil elo al oichlin val mashkin val kli cheres. Beis Shammai say that the protective quality of the kli cheres is felt only with regard to food, drink, and other clay vessels. Omru lohem Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, mivnei ma. Beis Hillel asks Beis Shammai, why is it that the kli cheres is not matzil on all other things? Omru lohem Beis Shammai, mivnei shu tomei al gabi amoretz. The clay vessel that we just described as being the tumah blocker, if it's a clay cheres of an amoretz, it is probably tomei. It is defiled. The ein kli tomei chotzeitz, and a vessel that's already defiled is not capable of blocking tumah. There's a Rashi. You find second line from the bottom. Shutame hakli azeh hoyatame mitchiloso kodim shenosno amoretz al pi huaruba. The clay vessel that we're discussing is the clay vessel belonging to an amoretz, and it was tame before it was placed over the aruba. That was the hole in the ceiling of the first story, leading to the second story. And there is a rule. The ein kli tomei chotzeitz. A vessel that itself is tomei is not capable of blocking tumah. Omar, omru lohem beis hillel valo tihartem oichlin umashkin shebesocho. But you acknowledged that the kli cheres of the amoretz is effective in blocking the tumah from food, drink that are there, that are either in the vessel or in the second story. Amru lohem beishamai. Beishamai responds to Beis Hillel and says, Kishitiharnu oichlenu mashkin shebesochal. When we declared the food and drink that were in the kli cheres, in the clay vessel, or in the upper story, when we declare them tohar, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, li'atzmoi tiharno. The declaration of tahara had ramifications only for himself, for the Amoritz himself. He'll eat that food. He'll drink that drink. The declaration of tahara was, as we said, for the Amoritz himself. Not, it would have no bearing for chaverim. Chaverim don't accept the food and drink from Amoratzim to begin with. So that's as far as our declaring as clean. It's sort of like a sarcastic kind of clean. It's not a real cleanness. It's not a real purity, but it's a declaration. Oh, it's considered clean, but it's only for the Amoratzim themselves. But for us to declare everything like you, Beis Hillel said, that everything in the second story or in the Kli Cheres Muk of Tzomet Pasil will remain Tohar, that everything, even vessels, will remain Tohar under those circumstances, that far we can't go, because that would have ramifications not only for the Amoritz himself, but for you and me as well. Rashi says on the second line from top, Tiharto loch velo shema tishalenu v'tishamesh bo. You might borrow, you're a chaver, you might borrow the vessel that was contained or was supposedly protected by the clay vessel, but the clay vessel that was serving as the protection was itself tome. It was a vessel of an amoretz. So it's not an effective blocker of the tumah, and I do borrow vessels from amoratzim, and I'm going to very likely then be borrowing a vessel that's tome. Tanya, Omer Rav Yeshua, Boshni Midivrechem Beishamai. Rabbi Shua says, I'm embarrassed at your teachings. Efsher Isha Loshava Reva. According to you, Beis Shammai, imagine we have the two floor scenario with a corpse in the bottom floor and a clay vessel whose bottom is facing the lower floor, stuffing a hole between the lower floor and the upper floor. A woman is in the upper floor with a kneading trough. That's an areva, bowl, a kneading bowl. You can have a woman there, according to you, Beis Shammai. You know what? We're going to create the following impossible scenario: Isha v'areva tameim shiva. The woman who's in the second story, the mixing bowl in, that she's kneading the dough in, are tamei for 7 days. Ubotzek is the dough, that's a food item. Ubotzek tohar. And the botzek, as being an example of a food item, that you declare is tohar. Lugin mole mashkin, you can have a similar example. Here's a lugin is a flask that holds mashkin, some type of beverage. Lugin tomei tumashiva, the lugin, it's a vessel. It will not be protected, according to Beis Shammai, by the inverted clay vessel bottom, that is bottom facing the bottom of the vessel facing the lower floor, that will not protect the lugin, the vessel itself. That will be tomei tumas shiva, will be tomei for 7 days, because we're dealing with a corpse in the lower floor, and the corpse tuma is rising above to be metame, and when you have corpse tuma, that's a 7 day tuma process. So you'll have the lugin, the vessel itself, is tamei umashkin tohren, and the liquid contained therein is tohar. That's an untenable situation in the eyes of Beis Hillel. Nitpalo talmid echad mitalmidei Beis Shammai. Nitpal is to join up with or to attach oneself. So there was a student from the talmidei of Shammai, talmidei Beis Shammai, that went to Hillel or I should say went to Rabbi Yeshua. Omar lo, the Talmud asked, Omar loch tamon shel Beis Shammai, would you like me to give you the reason for Beis Shammai? Omar lo emor, so Rabbi Yeshua says, okay, go ahead and say. Omar lo, so the Talmud of Beis Shammai says, kli tome chotzeitz oenu chotzeitz, does a defiled vessel serve as a blocker of tumah or not? No, a vessel that itself is tumah cannot block other tumah, cannot block tumah from penetrating it. Kli shel amoretz tumah o tor. The vessels of an ignoramus, are they tumah or tor? Amar lo tumah. So Rabbi Yeshua says, of course, they're known as being tumah. And as such, the vessel of the amoretz is by letter of the law something that's not chotzeitz. And if you tell the Amoretz that, well, sorry, your clay vessel is not chotzeitz, and therefore whatever it was there to protect is considered tomei. Klu mashgiach loch, will he listen to you at all? V'lo od. We should just take a note of Rashi before we go on. On the third line from the top, klu klu mashgiach loch lecha. Therefore, Beis Shammai declared that their food, drink, and their clay vessels that are on the other side of this clay cheres that's blocking the hole, she'ein lohen taro elish rosin. The cheres have no, a clay cheres that's tome has no solution other than it's being smashed. If you're going to tell the Amoretz, hey, you know, your food, your drink, and your clay vessels become defiled, lo yishmaloch, he's not going to even listen to you. So that for us to say that the kli cheres over the hole isn't going to block the tumah, and that the food and drink and other clay vessels above, which ordinarily a clay vessel that does become tumah in reality has no solution other than it's being smashed, and you tell that to the Amoretz that his clay vessel did not protect that which is above in the second story, he won't listen to you. So we're not going to gain anything by declaring it tummy. Rashi adds an important point. Klishetef yishmaloch v'yabilenu. Klishetef are vessels made of materials other than clay and dirt. Vessels that are made of, let us say, metal. Klishetef is, shetef has to do with washing something. Or maybe immersing something. Those are vessels, klishetef are those kind of vessels. Unlike the clay cheres, unlike the clay vessels, these are vessels that lend themselves to purification. So that if you tell the Amoretz about those vessels as becoming tamei, he will listen because he knows he has a way out. He doesn't have to throw it out. He has a way he can be mitayaret. Okay, now let's turn back to the source. We read, if you tell the Amoretz that the stuff in the, on the second story of that was blocked by the large clay vessel sealing the hole, and you tell him that it that his stuff is tomei, Omar Loch, he'll tell you back, Shelita Orvisho Tomei. What are you talking about? My stuff is torn, your stuff is defiled. Vizeu Tamon Shel Beishamai. And with this, you now have heard the reason behind the distinction Beis Shammai made between Oichlin, Mashkin, and Klei Cheres versus everything else. With regard to Oichlin, Mashkin, Cheres, we say it's Torah because by saying that it's Tomei, we would accomplish nothing. With regard to other kinds of vessels, there we can say that it's Tomei, and the Amoretz, he'll understand and he'll immerse it again. He'll fix it. So that the Beis Shammai's distinction was not some type of indiscriminate, careless, thoughtless distinction, but there was a definite logic to what they said. Now, upon hearing this, Miad Holach Rabbi Yeshua who had originally said harsh words, he said, I'm embarrassed concerning your teachings, with his reference to Beis Shammai, and he presented the seemingly absurd situation that would be created. But now we heard the logic behind the distinction. Rabbi Yeshua then goes, he went, v'nishtatech al kibrei beishamai. He prostrated himself over the graves of those students that constitute beishamai, Omar, and he said, Nanesi lochem asus beishamai. I humble myself in front of you, the bones of the school of Shammai. And Rabbi Shul goes on to say, Umas dumois shelochem kach. Mind you, the halachas that are not clear, stumos means literally something that's sealed, something that's vague. And here we had an example of a statement that Beis Shammai made that appeared vague. The statement that Oichel Umashkim and Klicheres Torah and everything else is Tomei. It was a vague statement, and yet you see the logic behind it. Umas tumos shelochem kach. Mind you how your vague statements are yet so, we'll say, logical. Those statements that you say explicitly, that you explain, when you explain your position, all the more so they are deserving of respect. Omru kol yomav hushru shinov v'nei tani Yosef. It was then reported that over the rest of his life, Rabbi Shua fasted, which resulted in his teeth becoming black. So Rabbi Shua, you can see this extreme expression of humility and penitence for his initial derision of Beis Shammai's teaching. Kotoni mihas. Now here's where the issue comes to a head. We have, however, learned here, it was stated, we have a little arrow, you can align this with the arrow above, we have stated, l'cha v'loi, that when it comes to our hesitance, our reticence to declaring everything tahor, Beis Shammai said we can't do that, because if we do that, that has ramifications, not only for him, but for me and you as well. Alma, what do we see from here? Shalino and Minayo, that we borrow their vessels. And therefore, we can't declare the vessels of the Amorites in the second floor Tohar. Because if we do, when in reality they're not Tohar, I will end up borrowing it and using it as if it was Tohar, and they're not. Just to review the technical reason why they're not Torah, because they were in a second story under which there was a mace, there was a body, and the tuma went up through the hole between the first and second floors. So with all of this, with this having been established, that you see from this discussion that we borrow vessels from them, why then does our Mishnah say that there's no problem in being toivel and immersing kli b'soch kli with regard to truma? If we do immersions like that of kli b'soch kli with regard to truma, Amoratsim are going to do the same, and I'm going to end up borrowing the vessel of an Amoretz that really did not have a proper immersion. The Gemara says, well, that whole scenario doesn't bother us because ki shailina minai, when I borrow vessels from the Amoretz, my belina, we automatically go and immerse them because of this very issue that it may be the vessel that I'm borrowing was once tamei and the Amoretz did an immersion kli b'soch kli, which could possibly be ineffective. So our whole solution is the fact that when we borrow vessels from them, we immerse them. Ihachi. If this be the explanation, Nehadru Luhu Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. We have a little starred note. Kishomru Beis Shammai De'ein Kli Tomei Chotzeitz. When Beis Shammai said that a defiled vessel does not serve as an interposition, Hoyo Beis Hillel Lahashiv, Beis Hillel should have said, Afa Pikein, Anu Matbilin, Ma Shisholin Mehem. ומיד נוכל להשתמש בהן. So what? That the kli tame is not chotzeitz. When we borrow vessels from them, we immerse them anyway. Let's read that again in the words of the Gemara. Yehochi nehadshulu Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel should have responded to Beis Shammai, who had expressed their point of view, where they expressed the halacha that a kli tame is not chotzeitz. So, and with that explanation of kli tame no chotzeitz, so that's why their other items are not tohor. Why should that be a problem, though? Ki shalinon minayu, when we borrow vessels from them, matbelinon lo, we immerse them. The Gemara says the issue that Beis Shammai specifically had been addressing was an issue of Tumas Meis, where there was a corpse in the lower floor, and there was a hole in the ceiling, enabling the Tumah to rise up to the second floor, ruining everything over there. Tumas Meis is also known as Tumas, its length of time is Tumas Shiva, it's Tomei for 7 days. So the Gemara says that the reason that it would not have been sufficient for Beis Hillel to simply react to Beis Shammai by saying, you know, there's no problem with the vessels in the second story, they may be Tomei, but we immerse vessels that we borrow. The Gemara answers, why did Beis Hillel not say that? Tomei Meis Boi Hazor Shlishi Ushvi. Something that became Tomei Meis, because of the corpse tumah rising to the second floor, it's Tomei for 7 days, and in the course of those 7 days, on the third and seventh day, there's sprinkling of Pora Aduma, ash mixed with water, on the defiled entity. Umono l'shiva yomi lo moshli inshi. And people, owners of vessels, don't loan their vessels for 7 days. So that you have a situation of the vessels of the Amorites will be Tomei for 7 days. And the issue of borrowing with respect to the source before, which was a source that was dealing with Tumas Meis, so the Gemara's suggestion right now of let Beis Hillel say back to Beis Shammai in that source that, well, there's still no problem because we run and immerse our vessels, but that source was dealing with Tumas Meis, and as we just said in the Gemara, Tumas Meis requires a whole procedure over 7 days of waiting 7 days, and on the third day and the seventh day, Hazor Poraduma water, and people do not loan vessels for 7 days. So therefore, the presentation of the fact that we borrow from them, and that not being, we'll say, the basis of Beis Hillel being able to respond to Beis Shammai, that when we borrow, we immerse anyway, that response would have been inappropriate in a source dealing with Tumas Meis. However, in a general situation, where the Gemara had said we should not allow kli b'soch kli for truma immersions on the grounds that Amoratzim will do kli b'soch kli and I borrow vessels from them. In general, though, when I borrow the vessel from them, I immerse it immediately. Just to repeat, but with regard to the specific Tanaic source with Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the issue of the Kli Cheres, what it's matzil on, that was a source dealing with Oyal HaMeis. And when you're dealing with Tumas Meis, the solution of, well, we immerse our vessels anyway, wouldn't be an effective response in that context because of the Tumas Meis requiring a 7-day waiting period. And people don't loan vessels for 7 days. The Gemara now asks a question. Before we begin the question, though, we simply have to point out that we said that when you borrow vessels from an Amoretz, you have to go immerse it. Apparently, you don't believe the Amoretz to say that he had immersed his vessels. So now the Gemara asks, and we do assign a topic heading to this section of Gemara. The Nose, on the side, we've written Nemonus Ame Horetz Legabi Tvila. The believability, is there believability of Amoratzim, of the ignoramuses, with regard to immersion? So the Gemara continues. Va'atvila lo mehemni, and regarding immersion, are Amoratzim not believed? And the reason we're presenting this question thusly is because we said that when you borrow from an Amoretz, you have to immerse the vessel. V'hatanya, but have we not been taught, Ne'monim Amoretz al taras tevilas tomei meis. Amoratzim are believed with regard to the immersion needed when you're dealing with defilement to the dead. Omar Abaye, lo kashya, ha begufo, ha bekelov. Abaye says there's a distinction to be made with regard to his own body immersion, regarding his declaration. I had been tomei, and I took my body and immersed it as myself. I went into the mikveh, so he's believed when he says that. However, regarding his vessels, he's not believed. Rava Omar, Idi V'Idi B'Kelov, both sources are dealing with believability regarding vessels. For Lo Kashia, Hodi Omar Me'olam Lo Hotbalti Kli B'So Kli, where he says, I never immersed a Kli B'So Kli, so that whenever I immerse my vessels, it's never Kli B'So Kli. A statement like that is something with which the Amoretz would be believed. However, v'ha d'yamar hotbalti avolo hotbalti kli she'ein b'fiv kishveres hanod, there he would not be believed. If he gets into, let's say, fine detail resolution, as would be the case here, where he says, yes, I immersed kli b'so kli, but I always avoided using narrow-necked vessels as the outer vessel. There, we would not believe him. The Hotanya, and support to this is seen in the following source. Ne'emon Amoretz lomar peros lo huchshru. And Amoretz is believed to say regarding his fruits that they never were exposed to desired wetness, which ordinarily would make a fruit susceptible to defilement. So if he says, my fruits never became wet, he's believed. Avol eino ne'emon lomar peros huchshru avol lo nitme'u. But when it gets into, we'll say, this detail level of concern, where he says, yes, my fruits became susceptible to tuma, but they never came into contact with a source of tuma, there we don't believe him. Now, we mentioned just a few lines up, Abaye mentioned that with regard to his own body immersion, he's believed. Here we challenge that. The agufo ni mehemon, and regarding himself, is he really believed? Tanya, we have the following source. And by the way, the star that you see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text is enable you to align this question of Agufo with the statement we saw above by Abaye, where you also see the star, where Abaye claimed that by Gufo he's believed. Here we're challenging that. By Gufo mei mehaman, regarding himself, is he believed? Vatanya, chover shebo lahazois, mazin olav miad. A chover, a person who's diligent with regard to matters of tahara, of purity, if he comes to us and says, you know, I was exposed several days ago to Tumas Mace, and I need to have the Pora Aduma water sprinkled on me. And I need the first sprinkling because 3 days have gone by since my exposure to the Tumas. This is my third clean day. So that there's 3 days have gone by. That means that 4 days ago I had become Tomei, and now is my third clean day. We sprinkle the Pora Aduma water on him immediately. In other words, we don't doubt his story. We don't doubt the information that he's giving us. Amoretz Shebol Ahazos, an Amoretz that says, I need the Pora Aduma sprinkling. Ein mazin olav ad shiaseh befonenu shlishi ushvi. We don't immediately sprinkle on him. We say you have to stay with us for 7 days, and we want to see you pure, without any additional contact with the dead, for the next 3 days. In other words, we want you to be with us for a week. So day 1, 2, and 3. On day 3, we will sprinkle on you. And day 4, 5, 6, and 7, also you'll be with us. And on the 7th day, we will sprinkle upon you. So what do you see from here? You see that we don't trust the purity information that he gives us. So when he claims that he immersed himself in a mikveh, he would be believed. We're bringing that into question right now. Elo Omar Abaye. Mitoch chomer shechmarta olav betchilaso hikalta olav besofo. In fact, the Amoretz is well aware of what happens when he comes to tell us about his having been exposed to Tumas Mace. Therefore, when he comes and tells us that he has immersed himself, he is very careful to tell the truth, because if he's found out to be lying, he's going to have to spend an entire week in our presence before we provide him with the immersion, with the sprinkling. Let's take a look at Rashi. Mitoch, we're looking at Rashi in the upper part of the narrow lines. Mitoch chomer shichmarta lov b'tchila kishebo lefonecho laza oisov lohem aso. The scenario where he comes for sprinkling, and we in fact do not believe him, and we impose the aforementioned stringency, he kalta olav besofo lamino al hatvila. We believe him regarding that which happens at the end of the week of purity, namely the immersion, the final immersion. Lefishehu nizhar betvilaso shelo yitzarech lo od. He'll be very careful to immerse himself and to tell the truth, because he knows what he'll have to go through if he is not diligent in that respect. So just to repeat this last point, there's no contradiction between the believability we grant Amoratzim on their final immersion from defilement to the dead, which just takes place after 7 days. We believe him regarding that, because if he doesn't immerse himself and if he doesn't tell us the truth, he will then be expected to spend an entire week in our presence in order to receive the hazos. The Mishnah mentioned achorayim v'toch. A distinction is made between the various parts of a vessel with regard to truma, but not with regard to kochim. My achorayim v'toch. What is meant by that? And topic-wise, on the side of the Gemara, we indicate under our Nosei heading, the Hesber, we're going to explain Hodikotoni, B'mishna Achorayim, V'toch U'beis HaTzvita. These are points that were made regarding vessels and regarding vessels in the context of Truma and Kachim, where we said there's a difference between Truma and Kachim regarding these elements. So here the Gemara gets into the detail, which we did touch upon when we learned the Mishnah. So the Gemara, after asking what is meant by Achorayim V'toch, Kedisnan, Kli Shenitmo Achorov B'mashkin, a Kli whose exterior came into contact with liquids that were Tomei. Generally speaking, liquids that become Tomei, called Mashkin Tomeim, on a Torah level, do not communicate Tumah to vessels. Only to food items, not to vessels. When we speak in the next few lines about Tumah, realizing we're talking on a rabbinic level, that the fact that Mashkin can impart Tumah to a vessel is purely rabbinic. And when you're in the rabbinic realm, so naturally the rabbis established that there is Tumas, Tumas Mashkin vis-a-vis vessels, and they can tell you when and how to apply that. So a vessel whose exterior became Tomei through Mashkin, Achorov Tomein, the exterior is Tomei, so that if food were to touch the exterior of that vessel, it would become Tomei. Toichoi, the interior, Ogno, the lip of the vessel, Ozno, handles of the vessel, these Ozno and Biyodo, different types of handles of vessels, Tahorin, all those different parts of the vessel remain tahor. Nitmo tocho, if the mashkin tameim touches the interior of the vessel, kulo tameh, the entire vessel becomes tameh. Now the distinction that we just made between the achorayim and toch, that is something that applies to vessels that you're going to end up using with truma, but not with regard to vessels that you're going to be using with regard to kachim. Ubeis hatzvita, my beis hatzvita, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, mokom shetzovto. It's a part of the vessel where you might have an indentation in the vessel, by which you hold the vessel at that point, and if you want to extend the vessel from yourself to someone else, you would hold it in this indentation of the vessel, a crease or a fold or an indentation in the outside of the vessel, by which you hand it to someone else. V'chenu Omer, the term tzvita, as referring to a method of handing something over to someone else, is found in the following pasuk. It says, "Vayitzbot lo koli." It's a pasuk from the book of Ruth, where it describes his handing over to her some roasted grain. The koli is roasted grain. Vayitzbot though means to hand something over. Rabbi Asi on Rabbi Yochanan says, "What is beis hatzvita of a vessel? Mokom shenikiyah das." Sovin. Nikiyadas are people that are fastidious, people that are finicky. These kind of people have vessels. Imagine a bowl. And in the bowl, there is a type of depression in the bowl or in the plate. People that are istinous in Nikiyadas, they will fill up this Beis HaTzvita, according to this approach, it's that indentation or depression in the interior of the vessel, in which they will put, let's say, some dip. Whatever, you can use many different examples of what constitutes a dip. If it's mayonnaise or mustard or olive oil or whatever. They fill up the little hole with this, with all contained, all this is part of, It's an indentation or a depression within a bowl, within a plate. So, the word soven, we say nekiyadas soven, means they dip their food in that. So that when we maybe let's take a look at the Rashi soven matbilin oichlin bechardol. People will dip their foods in chardol. It's often translated as mustard, or bechometz, or vinegar. Shechikikin b'shulei hakara beis kibul atzmo. People will hollow out or form a depression in the bottom of the bowl. The gova lo saviv, and it has itself. Now it has a rim around it. V'noisin sham chometz v'chardol, and they put the dips in there. So now, we said that with regard to Tumas Mashkin, we will make a distinction between if the Beis HaTzvita became Tomei, the rest of the vessel will not be considered Tomei. That statement would be true with regard to Truma-related vessels, not with regard to vessels that would be used with sacrifices. Tani Rav Bevai Kamei de Rav Nachman. Rav Bevai teaches the following source to Rav Nachman. Kol akelim ein lohem achorayim v'toch. All vessels. With regard to all vessels, we make no distinction between interior and ulterior. If one became Tomei, the whole vessel becomes Tomei. Echod kotshe hamikdash v'echod kotshe hagvul. Whether you're talking about Beis Hamikdash sanctity items, and whether you're talking about kotshe hagvul. Amar le kotshe hagvul mai nihu. So a question is now raised. When you say that we make no distinction between kotshe mikdash, generally speaking, you would think that's a reference to sacrificial items. And kotshe agvul, here we're dealing with that. Rav Nachman says to Rav Bevai, you know, you quoted a source and you say you make no distinction between kotshe mikdash and kotshe agvul. Well, Rav Nachman says, kotshe agvul mainin. What do you mean by kotshe agvul? Truma. Gvul is usually a reference to that which is outside the Beis HaMikdash. So what has sanctity outside the Beis HaMikdash? Truma, the tithe that you give to Kohanim. V'hatanan, but our Mishnah taught Achorayim V'toch U'Beis HaTzvita L'Truma, that a distinction is made between interior versus out versus exterior versus as we explained at great length already in the last few minutes, that there are distinctions made between the different parts of the vessel and its contact with Tuma with regard to Truma. Truma is taught as distinct from Kotshe Mikdash. So how in your source can you teach Kotshe Mikdash along with Kotshe Gvul, meaning Truma? Dilma, maybe when you present Kotshe Gvul in your source, Lechulin shenasu aparas hakodesh koamris. Maybe what you are referring to by the term kotshe gvul is a reference to chulin that prepared with the stringency we afford to sacrifices. A topic we've mentioned many times in the past. This institution or concept known as chulin shenasu aparas hakodesh, where people who are very diligent, have a lot of contact with sacrifices, treat all their food, even their mundane, their chulin food, with kachim standards. So maybe that's what you're referring to in your source. At karton milsa, you reminded me now of something, Dioma Rabo Baravua, that which Rabo teaches, Achas Esrei Malois Shonu Kan. In our opening Mishnah, there are 11 levels of Chumrah that we find by Kachim over Truma. Shesh Rishonos, the first six, which include the Achorayim V'Tochu Beis HaTzvita statement, those six, which include that, Bain Kodesh, Bain Lechulin Shanasat Arsa Kodesh. It applies equally to actual sacrifices and to Chulin Shanasat Arsa Kodesh as well. Achronos, the last five Chumros that are listed in the Mishnah, Lekodesh Avolo Lechulin Shanasat Arsa Kodesh, apply only to real sacrificial substances and not to Chulin treated with sacrificial stringency. So in the last few lines, we saw Rav Bevi say a source that at first glance seems a bit perplexing because it runs up against the Mishnah. The source Rav Bevi taught appeared to say that we make no distinction between Achorayim and Toch with regard to not only Kodshim but also with regard to Truma. And Rav Nachman interjected or responded and said, listen, if that source can't be as such because we know we do make a distinction between Kodshim and Truma with regard to this issue of Achorayim and Toch. Rather, what your source that said no distinction is made between Kodshei HaMikdash and Kodshei Gvul does not refer to Truma, but rather refers to Chulin Shinasu Al Taras HaKodesh. And claiming that Chulin Shinasu Al Taras HaKodesh will receive the same standard with regard to this concept of Acharayim and Toch and Beis HaTzvita is something that is borne out by Rabba Bar Avuah's teaching that the first six Malos Chumras mentioned in our Mishnah apply to Chulin Shinas HaTorah HaKodesh as well. Those first six, of course, included the Acharayim, Betoch, and Beis HaTzvita. As we go on in the Gemara, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, which reads Hesper HaDekotoni, the explanation of that which is taught, Diyesh L'chalek Bein Truma L'Kodesh, that you have to make a distinction between Truma and Kodshim, Benoisei Es HaMedris, with regard to one who is carrying a Medris. A Medris, we explained in the past, is that type of thing, a chair, a bed, it could be an article of clothing that's made for one to lean or sit or recline upon. And a Medris, a Zav, a Zava, Metzora, Nida, different kinds of Temeim people rested on this, or even a shoe, which is the example that we were using in our Mishnah, the shoe of a Zav, that is a Medris. And that shoe, the shoe of a Zav, would be Metama, a person, is capable of being Metama, a person. Hachumra Bakedesh Ave Mishul Maisa Shahoy. We're going to see the Chumra that our Mishnah mentioned, that one is not allowed to carry a Medris at the same time that he is carrying around Kodshim. This is a result of an incident that took place. Just to make no mistake, when we speak about carrying around Kodshim, we're not talking about the person himself comes into contact with the Kodshim, because the person, by carrying around the Zav, would become himself, by carrying around the Medris, he becomes Tomei. However, the Kodshim that we're speaking about, that he is Kodshim, or if we be more accurate, the Mishnah said you can carry around Truma. He's not in contact with the Truma. The Truma is in a vessel, and the vessel itself does not become Tomei by the person, even though the person himself might be Tomei. He's not Mitame the vessel, and therefore the Truma contained within the vessel remains Tor. With regard to Kodshim, though, under those same circumstances, we do not allow a person to carry around the Medris while he is carrying around the vessel with the Kodshim inside of it. And why not? Because of an incident. And that will be explained by the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Anoisei es HaMedris, Noisei es HaTruma, Avolo es HaZav. One who carries around a Medris, as we said, the shoe of a Zav, is allowed to carry around Truma at the same time, the Truma being in a chovis, in a jar or a barrel, but he's not allowed to carry around Kodesh. Kodesh Maitaim Olo, why with regard to Kodshim is he not allowed to do as such? Mishum Maisa Shoah, because of an incident that took place. Yomar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Maisa Be'echod Shoya Mavir Chovis Shel Yayin Kodesh Mimokum Lamokum. There was an incident where someone was transporting a barrel of wine that was dedicated to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll call it sacrificial wine. From one, he was transporting this chavis of yayin from one place to another. We continue at the top of Chof Gimel Amud Aleph. V'nifsecha Ritzua Shel Sandalo. And the strap of his shoe snapped. Now, the person that was carrying it around had been his shoe had tumas zav attached to it. Rashi says at the top, "Nifsechah ritzua shel sandal measures a zav hoisa." It was a shoe that a zav had walked in. V'not lo biyado umitoch kach noflo avir achovasni. This shoe that had the medrash status to it, that this fellow was wearing, so the shoe that had medrash status, its strap that attached that enabled it to stay clinging, adhering to his foot, that strap broke. So he picked up the shoe, v'notla, he picked up the shoe, v'nicho al pi chavis, he put it on the barrel, v'noflo la'avir a chavis. He initially put it on the top, or maybe on the rim of the barrel, but it then fell into the interior of the barrel. The nitmes and the wine, the sanctified wine, became tomei. Ba'oisa sho amru, at that point they said, Hanoiseas hamedrash, noiseas hatrumah v'lo es hakodesh. One who is carrying around something that is medrash status, he can carry truma, but he cannot carry kodshim. The Gemara asks, "Ihachi truma nami?" So then, why do we allow someone to carry a barrel full of truma while he's carrying around a medras? The Gemara answers, "Ha money." The Mishnah that made a distinction is Rav Hananya ben Akavyahi, is according to Rav Hananya. The Omar, Rav Hananya says that when it comes to making gezeiros, when it comes to imposing rabbinic restrictions, rabbinic stringencies, the form or the pattern of making, of imposing stringencies is actually very limited. It has to be limited. It is there, that which is restricted is limited to the original circumstances, the original story that caused the gzeira to be made in the first place. Rav Hananya said, "Lo osru," and now here the Gemara is very vague, but it will clarify itself shortly. He is referring to an incident that took place with regard to the transportation of Pora Aduma water. And as a result of an incident that took place, the rabbis imposed certain restrictions. So in reference to that, this will become clarified. The term that we're going to read now will become clarified in the upcoming lines. He says, Lo Osru, when they imposed their restrictions, Lo Osru Elo Bayardain. First of all, the restriction will apply only to the Jordan River, Ubisfina, and it will have to, the restriction will involve only boats, Ukemaisa Shahoya, and as the incident that took place. Before we continue any further in the Gemara, we do have a topic heading that we will read together, the Nosei Hemshech. This is a continuation of the topic we've been dealing with till now. Shitas Rav Hananya ben Akavya Basias Gezeros, the opinion of Hananya in the formation of restrictions, rabbinic impositions, rabbinic restrictions, the ain ligzor, lesser, we do not prohibit, Elo Bedoyme Lamaisa Rishon, other than that which resembles the original incident, shigoram lekach shigoser, that caused them to make the gzera. Uva b'gemara gishoso, the Gemara will present his approach. B'maisis shel havoras mei chatos b'yardein b'sfina, v'nimtzo kizayis min ames tochu b'karki isa shel hasfina. The incident that we refer to involved the transportation of poraduma water in the Jordan River in a boat, and they found an olive quantity of corpse tissue wedged into the bottom of the boat. And as a result of the presence of that corpse tissue in the boat, so that ruined the Mei Chatos. So the ruination of the Mei Chatos caused the rabbis to impose a restriction. I wanted to say a general restriction, but that issue, the word general restriction, is a loaded word, as we will explain in the Gemara. So all of this is used to serve as the background for why our Mishnah makes reference to the restriction of carrying a medrash only with regard to Kachim, not with regard to Truma, because the original story was a story involving Kachim, involving the sanctified wine, the Kachim wine, and it did not involve Truma. Hence, no restriction with regard to Truma. And now, the Gemara continues. We say, my he, what is that? What is the halacha you're referring to regarding the Yarden and Sfina? The Sanya. So here we give you the back. The Gemara gives you a Tanaic source, at the end of which you see the underlined name of Hananya ben Akavya. It says in this source, a note, by the way, we have a long answer marking. Lo yisa odo mei chatos ve'efer chatos. A person should not carry the water, the poraduma water, and the ash of the poraduma. The word chatos is a reference to the poraduma. So one should not carry the poraduma water, nor the ash. Ve'aviram b'yardein u'besfina, and have them transported across the Jordan in a boat. V'lo yamod b'tzadzev yizrukem l'tzadachir, nor should one stand on one side and cast it over to the other side. V'lo yashitam alpanei hamayim, nor have them put in some type of container and float it across. V'lo yirkav algabi behemo, v'lo algabi chavero, one should not ride on the back of an animal or on the back of his friend. Elo im kein hoyu raglov noigois bakaka, unless his feet were touching the ground, were in touching the ground itself. Avol, and now all of these scenarios, what's common to all of these is the idea that the poraduma water or ash is in midair. Avol maviram agabi hagesher v'eino choshesh. One, however, can carry it across a bridge that goes over the river. And not worry, because when you're going over a bridge, you're in effect transporting it through walking, not through the midair. Echon hayardein ve'echon shar hanoros. The above mentioned restrictions applies not only to the Jordan River, but applies to other rivers as well. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Oimer, lo osu elo biyardein ubesfina ukemaisa shahoya. The restriction regarding the transportation of the Mei Chatos and the Efer Chatos applies only to the Jordan River in a boat and as the original incident took place. The Gemara asks, my Maisa Shahoya, what's that original incident? The Omer of Yudah Marav, Rav Yudah tells us, there was a person once who was transporting the poraduma waters and poraduma ash in a boat crossing the Yarden, the Jordan River, and a kezayis was an olive quantity of corpse tissue was wedged into the bottom of the boat, and Rashi adds, and he overshadowed it with the Mei Chatos and Efer Chatos, and they became Tomei through the overshadowing. And at that moment, the rabbis ruled, we don't want this to happen ever again, so do not transport the poraduma substances in a boat over the Jordan River. So that brings us to the end of the description of the Rav Hananya ben Akavya and how he formulates gzeros, and with that we then understand our Mishnah that said that the carrying of the medrash is restricted to kachim and not truma, because the original problem that arose was in the context of kachim and not in the context of truma. When we make gzeros, they are limited to what the original incident that had taken place that gave rise to the gzera. Ibayaloho, sandal tome, sandal tohor mahu. Till now, we learned about the problem of carrying a shoe that was tome, the medrash that we described above. So we said that you cannot carry a tome shoe while you're carrying kachim. What about carrying a tohor shoe? Did they impose a gzeira not to carry even a tohor shoe in anticipation of your coming to carrying a tome shoe? Chovis psucha, the original gzeira involved an open barrel. And that's certainly a problem. Remember, he had he was carrying the tome shoe, and while wearing after it having snapped, and then he put it on the rim of the barrel, and it fell into the barrel, fell into the interior, thereby being metame the contents. Chovis stuma mahu. What about a person carrying a tome shoe while carrying a sealed barrel? Ovar v'nosa mahu. Let us say a person, he went ahead, he violated and carried the kachim while carrying the tomei shoe. What is the din? Rav Ilo Omar im ovar v'nosa tomei. Rabbi Zer Omar ovar v'nosa tohor. Rav Ilo is restrictive. He says if a person violated our restriction, so we will declare the contents tomei, the contents of the barrel will be tomei. And if according to Rabbi Zera, though, ovar v'nosa, if he violates our rulings and carried the shoe while carrying the barrel, just by virtue of fact he violated our restriction, that's not reason for declaring the content of the barrel as being tomei. Of course, it's the tomei shoe didn't go inside the barrel. He simply violated our restriction of carrying them all together. Nevertheless, if he violated it, according to Rabbi Zera, the content of the barrel remains tohor. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.